they have a responsibility because the kids are taking pictures all the time. When they go in for a layup and they miss it in warm-ups, they look right up in the stands.
Hi, I'm Tom Newell. Welcome to Family Sports Life Today. We're bringing together parents, coaches, and athletes to talk about having a better sports experience, better family connections, and a better sports life for our kids.
And I'm Coach Guy Perry, and whether we're talking about elementary, middle school, or high school sports, whether you're an experienced coach or just getting involved with your kids' team, Family Sports Life Today is the place to talk about sports and learn. Join the team at www.familysportslifetoday.com or call us at 206-20-COACH. That's 206-202-6224. In this segment, we're going to be talking about parent personality and behavior. Topics will include the first game jitters for our children, ages 11 through 14, the halftime temptations of talking to our players at halftime. We'll also talk about the end of the game, whether it's a blowout by 20 points or more, or if your team wins or loses a very close game. Then, of course, it's the infamous ride home, and then what to do once you get back to the house. So, Tom, let's talk about the first game jitters. I'm nervous already.
It's unbelievable. I love when I go to a basketball game. Doesn't matter whether it's third grade, high school, all right, or college. I love to sit across from the bench, not only watch the players' demeanors, okay, teammates, and during timeouts, coming out, the attentiveness or not, but I love to watch parents. I don't need a program to know whose child is scoring, making mistakes, okay, or sitting on the bench. And what's exciting to me is that it just makes me realize that in an early age, we develop these inherent, traits that you can't break. And so I thought it'd be great for us as coaches and teachers to be able to discuss the parents' jitters for our children, beginning with layups in before the ball goes up.
Or missed layups.
Missed layups. Oh, yeah.
I'm so embarrassed. My son just missed a layup.
How often have you ever seen kids when they shoot a layup, all right, in this age group we're talking about, ages 11 to 14, and there could even be some high school kids here, but they look to see if a parent saw that, especially dad. If dad is in the stands, if dad saw me just missed my warm-up layup, okay, and I take that picture. I know exactly what the child is thinking. Oh, I got to make my next one. Because if I miss three in a row, I know he's going to call my name out. You know what I mean?
You're right about that.
Yeah, yeah. And so the one thing I would like for parents to understand is that every reactionary behavior they have to a mistake, to something positive that happens on the court, beginning with layups, okay, beginning with warm-ups, they're taking pictures, okay, in their mind. And that is going to either help them succeed in the game when the ball goes up, or it's going to further dig the hole deeper.
It's going to create this inverted pressure that they're going to put on themselves.
Oh, yeah, because I'll tell you right now, I've talked to parents before. They sit there and they'll have a tall single decaf without, and they have this nervous tick. They're rocking a little bit. I wish the game would get going. But then again, I wonder how she's going to play. I hope she makes her first shot. I hope that she does something that everybody can clap for and say great play, good job. And the coaches cheering and what have you. The last thing I'm thinking to myself, the last thing I want is for my daughter to fail. The last thing I want is for my son to make a mistake in the beginning of the game. That's really painful, okay? I mean, really painful. There's not an ice pack, all right, or aspirin or Advil that could take care of the pain of that first experience in a game, all right, where a mistake is made.
And it's a game of mistakes anyway. So,
that's right.
So a parent watching somebody miss a layup, a kid miss a layup, one or two times. Well, you as a parent, how many layups could you make in a row without missing?
Oh,
probably not that many.
That's right.
You probably injured the backboard in the process.
And then from that, the game begins. Okay, and so then if there is a slow start, so to speak, let's say your son or daughter is starting and they're in the lineup, and the ball goes up, and the first 2 or 3 minutes, and we're just talking a 32-minute game here, okay, 8-minute quarters, and the ball goes up, and they're in the flow, but your son or your daughter, they're just not there yet. You know, that light hasn't gone on. And you know that they can play better than that. And so you're encouraging them now, okay? You're louder than the players on the bench who she or he wants to hear more than your voice. Come on, Tommy, you can do better than that. Come on, let's go. Let's go, pick it up. And now all of a sudden, Tommy's on the court and he's like cringing because he's going, Dad, leave me alone, will you? I mean, I'm going to do the best that I can. And so now when failure starts to come in early, dad, not so much moms, okay, but dads are like, gosh, when will this game get over? I got to get out of here. This is painful because the team's getting blown out or it's nothing but a game, you know, where the team isn't doing well and having problems. And what happens out of that, guy, what I've seen is that when parents get frustrated with their child's performance or malperformance, they invariably want to go ahead and put it upon something related to the game, vis-a-vis officials, okay? That was a foul! Hey, come on, ref, that's traveling! You know, and then there's the timeout, and now, okay, we're trying to get the attention of our son or daughter as they're going into the timeout. You know, we just, yeah, yeah. Hey Tommy! You know, and all the kids are looking up except Tommy. And then I start pointing, you know, get his attention, get his attention, okay. And then I give him this. Now you have to understand, most parents, okay, have their own sign language.
Yeah, or code. Oh, T.
Yeah, but the sign language is unbelievable. I mean, it's. You know, it amazes me. Every parent has their own different sign language. I mean, you could have a musician father, okay, that plays the trombone, okay, either as a hobby or professionally, never played basketball before, and he's doing the motion with his hands that you have no idea what he's saying because it looks like he's shuffling something. But his son knows or his daughter knows exactly what this means, because they've had these dinner conversations, all right, on the dining room table about, you know, you've got to do this, you know, you've got to go over here and you've got to, you know, fake and drive and stop and step through. And so it amazes me, it really amazes me that when parents get frustrated, how often they want to, 20 rows up, okay, get right into the flow of a timeout or trying to coach from the stands.
With expert body language.
Oh, it's unbelievable. It's incredible. It's incredible. Let's talk about the halftime, okay? We fast forward. We're down about 12 points.
When the coach brings all the parents into the halftime conversation, right?
Oh, yeah. And you're really going to love this one, okay? Because I guarantee you parents are going to crack up when they listen to how you and I see the halftime temptations.
Well, yeah, I like to do handouts at halftime to all the parents with bullet points of everything that I'm going to talk about.
Oh, better than stats. but the great thing here is that most parents will talk to themselves, all right, and it goes like this. Mom will say to dad, well, why is she playing so bad? Why can't she shoot better? And the daughter's only taken 3 shots. Or the son, well, why does he keep passing the ball to the other guy? What's wrong? And the dad is like, I don't know. I'm sitting here with you. I'm watching the same game. I'm as upset as you are. I'm going to talk to him. I'm going to talk to her. I'll find out what's going on here. And so immediately you want to go, I want to speak to him or her about the way they're playing. Okay, that's the first temptation. Okay, and so how do I get there? Because I know if the coach sees me, you know, walking up to him or her, all right, when they're on the bench and I sneak over to whisper something in the ear, that's really not going to be good. I mean, the coaches talk to the kids, but, you know, I got to get my last, you know, word in. And so what ends up happening is parents come up with creative ways to be able to connect. Now, they'll either use a teammate, friend, close friend, all right, of their daughter or son, and say, hey, Jay, come on over here, will you? Hey, listen, tell Tommy to bend his knees when he shoots, okay? Because right now his shot is short because he just said he has no balance, all right? You be sure to tell him that. Okay, Mr. Arnold, I will. I'll do that. So anyway, the next one, the second method, okay, of being able to connect with a child is, honey, do you have a dollar? I'm going to get a Gatorade. and I don't have any change on me. If you have a dollar, I'm going to go get the Gatorade, and then I'll tell him or I'll tell her exactly what we're seeing, okay? And we got a better you know, look, and we got a better vantage point than the coach on the bench and the sidelines. Don't you agree? Oh yeah, here's $2. Get two Gatorades. And so anyway, they end up going and get the Gatorade. All right, and now they call their son or their daughter over the sideline. You know, big smile on their face, and dad says, "Here's a Gatorade," and the child goes to get it. Doesn't get real close. Extends the arm to take it, and dad won't give it up. Because he still has something he wants to say.
Okay? And he goes into ventriloquist mode.
Yeah. So here, take the cup, and I'll show you what I mean. So you hold the cup up, and it's like, you hold it, guy. And listen, if you get down on defense, you can take the ball from him. You can steal it. Do you understand? And so what ends up happening is that the kid all of a sudden hates Gatorade now, all right, wants to get back to the bench, and has this feeling that, oh, my God, did anybody see this? And so the Gatorade is presented, the child takes it, and the mother, when the dad goes back up in the stands, the mother goes to her husband, what was that all about? That was the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen. You gave me the money. You told me, you know, I needed to talk to him. I just did what you told me to do. So anyway, we've made the connection. Those are the temptations at halftime. Guy that I see. And then the second half starts and it isn't getting any better. One thing that I know about kids in youth basketball, if they start out poorly, there's a pretty good chance, okay, with the fans in the stands, it's not going to get any better the second half. If they go down by big numbers, all right, double digits, it's probably going to stay that way because kids just don't know how to overcome adversity at that early age. They're just learning right. things about themselves.
Fortitude, resilience yeah. is not part of their yeah. vernacular.
Yeah. So, let's talk about the end game. What have you noticed about blowout losses when kids have been soundly defeated and just have that forlorn look on their face like, why did I even get up this morning?
It's like a funeral after the game when the kids come out of the locker room. Everyone's somber. There's nobody smiling. Where, in fact, it really should be, hey, wasn't it great to be in the gym tonight? We got another game. You know, yeah. It's all about moving forward. But, you know, everybody takes it so personally. I'm not so sure that's the best way to go about it, but it's a natural way to go about it.
Yeah. You know what amazes me is that in some cases the kids don't have a locker room. You know, they just they show up already dressed to play, and then they have Gatorade and they have their water bottles, you know, under the bench seat that they have. And the teams that win usually leave all their bottles there, their Gatorade bottles. And the kids that lose, they never leave their bottles there. Okay, because there's something sweet that comes from the game, and they want to take something positive. And so they'll take the water bottle with them. But the teams that win, I'm going to Dairy Queen, or I'm going to McDonald's, I'm going to get a milkshake now. We won, you know.
You're right about that.
Yeah.
The Inglemore Gym is like that.
Really? It's amazing.
It
really
on Saturdays,
is.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I just, it's one of those phenomena that it took me several years to, as a parent, I would help, you know, clean up the gym at Eastside Catholic, you know, after a game. And it just amazed me to see the winning team, you know, would be pretty good about, you know, picking up or leaving their water bottles and whatever. The losing team would end up, you know.
Distracted by winning.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. But so, getting back to this end game, if a team that wins a close game, celebrates. Okay, the parents are really excited, and what I've noticed is that the kids, you know, are their fists go up, you know, and they're so excited, and they look at the stands, and the parents are, you know, fists are extended, and they're clapping, and they're all excited, and what have you. And I look at the other bench, and all the kids have their head down, and the coach brings them in, the coach is down, the parents are down, and nobody's clapping for the effort. Do you ever notice that?
Yeah, they put in just as much effort as the team that won.
Yeah, and so it's like whether they lose by 1 point or 2 points or 20 points, there's never any praise for the effort. It's like, gosh, we should have won that. Gosh, I can't believe how bad we were. And what I'm saying is that's a picture that the kids at an early age are taking about this activity that is nothing but mistakes, but there's salvation through your best effort. And as long as we as parents can support effort, okay, and remember
Absolutely.
That always, there's a better chance that your child is going to come out of a sports activity experience whole, okay, and really solid as a team player and a leader.
Right, and look how much energy it takes to be negative. It takes twice as much energy to be negative. So you've lost a very tough game. You're upset. Your energy level goes even more negative.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it harder to overcome. But kids have, as we know, have the toughest time picking up the pieces and moving forward. And I think that's where the parents need to come in and applaud the effort and applaud the team, the teammate dynamic as far as you know, the harmony and people getting together, working together. Very undervalued on the parent side, I think. You know, they're more interested in the win and how many shots their kid gets.
Yeah.
Rather than looking at the whole thing, you know, what did my kid do good today?
Yeah, and that's a whole different segment, is the ride to the game, okay? And we'll get into that, because that's just a whole different animal, really. Let's talk about the ride home, okay? Because to me, after a blowout game, it the iPod goes in, the speakers go on, you know, the headset goes on the kids' ears and or the iPod phones are in, and this is the way it sounds. I know I'm going to hear it from them now. I know she's going to tell me what I got to do better. God, I wish they would just leave me alone. I just want to get home. I just want to go ahead, take a shower, and just forget about this game. But no, it keeps coming back, and I got to deal with it. So have you noticed that even as a parent? You know, that, and I know for myself, there's a tendency, okay, because in our adult minds, we know what happened. We have a better vantage point than the coach or the other players. We know why we lost.
Yeah, we weren't caught up in the moment of being right there. We could actually step on the outside and look at the situation objectively.
Right.
When in fact we can't do that.
No. And so now, instead of it, you know, being a positive, you know, praising the effort, we want to talk about something technical. Okay, and it goes like this. Why don't you shoot more? Why does guy not pass the ball to you when you're open on the wing? And so the son is thinking to himself, well, you know, he probably would, but he's not a very good passer, so he's not going to do something that he's not confident doing. And then the next thing is that the dad wants to talk about, you know, is the offense is really, there's too much standing around, it's too stagnant.
Yeah.
You know, and then all it always ends up where now we've got to talk about, you know, the saving grace, all right,
because the scapegoat.
Yeah. That guy, that whistle should be taken away from him, okay? He's the worst official. I've played basketball so long, I've never had an official that bad. And all the child is thinking about, okay, in this ride back is, gosh, I can't take this anymore. I just don't want to hear it, all right? It's over. It's done. I just want to go back and relax, okay? And mom hasn't even started on her end, okay? then mom chimes in and mom goes, well, why didn't you play more?
Yes.
Why does Emily get more time than you? You train more than she does. I take you to practice 3 times a week. She only goes once. I don't understand. Why does she play more? And now the problem, you know, with whether it's a boy or a girl, the problem is that you have two parents coming at different angles, okay, and which further, you know, clouds and
creates total confusion. Yeah, confusion.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's one of these things where, you know, the alarms go off and the child is like, I hate basketball. You know, if this is what I've got to put up with after every game.
Well, and your point about the mom talking about how, you know, Emily doesn't come to the games or whoever doesn't come to the games or the practices and you do.
Yeah.
Why does she play more? All of a sudden, the child may have not thought of that before. And
right.
Now they planted a very negative seed about how the coaching is being conducted.
That's true. And now you're judging.
Yeah.
And now you're introducing a behavior.
So how do we get better? I mean, at the high school level, high school guys lose ball games. They want to take the bus home. They don't want to drive home with their parents because they've got a way. The bus gives them a way not to be with their mom and dad after the game.
Yeah, that's right. It's a safe haven.
How do we as parents make it so that our kids want to come home with us after a win and a loss?
Well, it goes like this. I really believe that 99% of the kids today have some type of information, music or otherwise, plugged in to their ears. You see them coming into a game, an arena, and you see them going out of an arena or a gym.
You're right.
And so in that picture, I know this, that if a mom and dad were driving back and they turn the radio down just a little bit and they talk amongst themselves, I guarantee you that the son or daughter is going to take out one of the earplugs to hear what they're talking about. Okay? And
they've kind of camouflaged the situation by wearing the headphones.
Right. They're eavesdropping on their parents, you know, and it's like this. They're thinking, I wonder if they're talking about where we're going to go eat. You know, that's the first thing they're thinking
about. Because that's the only thing I'm really interested in.
Absolutely. Then the next thing they're going to talk about, or, you know, that enters into the conversation, or the thought process and the conversation that he or she might think they're having is, I wonder if they're talking about the coach. Or I wonder if they're talking about my teammates. And so there's an intrigue, just a natural intrigue for children to want to listen in, okay, to the conversations between parents, okay, and they're very, very good at that, okay. Kids can multi-ear task very well, okay, and it's important that if parents want to try this reverse psychology, where they turn the radio down and then they just carry on this conversation while they're driving their child home. Dad can sneak a peek into the mirror and see exactly what we're talking about here, that they are eavesdropping. So now that means Dad has control, all right, of the scenario, which is, gosh, that was a great game. You know, the effort, I was so impressed with the effort of all the kids, but I really liked how Jimmy, you know, played or I really liked how Molly, you know, dove on the floor for the loose ball, but her effort was just, I've never seen her work so hard. I mean, she's playing basketball like she does soccer, you know, she just leaves it on the floor. It's just, I'm just so proud to watch her play. And I guarantee you, if parents were to talk like this, all right, just try it. All I'm asking is try it one time. Okay, it's just like Baskin Robbins, 31 scoops, okay, 31 flavors, okay? Just try this flavor one time, the 32nd flavor, all right, the unknown flavor in sports, okay? Just try this flavor and see if it makes sense to you and your child in the relationship that you have post-game, the ride home.
So actually getting the mindset that your son or daughter has the volume turned down on the headphones, and she can hear everything that you're saying. but she doesn't want you to know that.
That's right.
And so then all of a sudden you're making all the positive comments, and they're thinking, gee, my mom and dad really have a nice outlook on this game. You know, I really don't mind riding home with them.
Yeah.
So
at an early age.
At an early age.
And then it carries over.
Yes.
Okay, because the last thing, because the last thing you want to happen here is for a child to make an excuse why they don't want to ride home. Well, I'm going with Billy.
Right, to drive him away.
Yeah, and
the ride home is so undervalued.
It's the most absolving grace period you could ever have as a youth sports participant.
Mm-hmm.
Because it will either make you feel whole again, or it'll make you hate the activity. One or the other, okay? The yin yang of it all. And so I think that if parents can master the ride home, then when they get into the house, all right, which is really scary when they get into the driveway, and dad still has the replay of the game going on, three or four plays. In his mind,
his mind is rewound from the ride home all the way to the beginning of the game, and now
that's
he's
right.
starting to nitpick stuff.
Right, right. Yeah. And the sun's out, and it doesn't matter. There's 25 degrees. The sun's out, and then the driveway's dry, and there's air in the ball. I'm going to show him. This is dad thing. I'm going to show him. What he's got to do on this one move. That kid should have never blocked his shot.
Bad idea.
Oh, real bad idea. And so what happens is that, as they pull in, okay, and this is after the first game. We're still on the first game, okay? And the kid's got 10 games left in the season or 12 games. That's it. Yeah, we're not talking, an NBA 82 game, plus playoffs type thing. We're talking youth basketball here, all right? 10 to 12 games. All right, playing once a week, maybe twice a week, over 6 weeks, 7 weeks. So now they pull up and dad goes, all right, Jimmy, listen, before you change, we're going to get in. We're going to go out by the.
I want to show you one
the backyard.
Thing.
I want to show you. I want to show you one thing that
turns into 10.
That I think will help you, because I know you're really upset when you got your shot blocked, and the kid's thinking, no, I wasn't. I'm only 5'2", and he's 6'3". I'm going to get my shot blocked. He's bigger and taller than I am. And so, but dad, in his adult mind, because he played the game, when he was in high school or when he was older and still may play, decides that this is what we're, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to show him. And then mom is like, oh, honey, just let him, come in the house. Or let her come in the house, please, and just relax. Oh, no, it's just one thing. It'll take 2 minutes. That's all it'll take, 2 minutes.
And so that evolves into one other thing.
Oh, yeah.
Another thing.
And mom's in there, making sandwiches or something like that and putting some, soup on the stove. And
mom's moved on to empathy.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Mom has got she's got the cookie batter going. She wants to make sure that, her child, the parachute's been packed, correctly before they left the house, and the ripcord, was pulled during the game, post game, and she wants to make sure that her child lands safely. So now what happens is she's looking, the soup is finished, the sandwiches are made, and she's looking out the door, and she goes, honey, Jimmy, the sandwiches are ready, come on in. And here's dad, we're almost done. We'll be in there in just a minute. We got one more thing to work on. I'm telling you, it kills me. I mean, think about it. We're all parents, okay? And when I say we're all, obviously we have our kids out there, but when they first start walking, okay, what do we want to do? When they first start walking, they fall. All right? We want to go over and help them up.
Yeah. Run to pick them up.
Run to pick them up.
You okay?
All right? They're walking. Okay, they're walking east west. Okay, sometimes north, but falling back south a lot. Yeah. Okay,
and pretty good lateral movement though.
Yeah, in a narrow hall. But anyway, the picture here is that we want to help them up. We're so excited that they were able to walk on their own the first time, and then we decide that you know what? They'll learn how to pick themselves up. And so then they fall, they cry. We're not picking them up. So they roll over and they get up on themselves. They help themselves up. And what's happened in youth sports is we have this expectation as parents. And so when they make a mistake or when they fail, we feel as a parent and as an adult in our minds, we got to help them. We got to pick them up. We've got to say something or do something that will make them feel better. But you know what? In sports, you can't do that. They have to learn how to overcome adversity. They have to learn how to have the courage, all right, to fail so that they can be successful. And if they don't, then all that they're doing is setting their child up to fail later. And therein lies the bad experience, not only with the coach model, but also with the parent model.
So, Tom, in your basketball coaching exploits, what have you found to be the best way to handle after-game situations in the locker room and personally, about it or not?
Well, one of the things that I've always admired about Bernie Bickerstaff, a well-known, longtime NBA coach, is that he would never waste any time after a game, win or lose. You know, big game. If we beat the Lakers back in the day, or we lost to a lowly Clippers team when they weren't so good, he wouldn't belabor anything. He wouldn't talk about, you know, this, that, or the other, or go to the board, or you know, point, you know, individuals out, you know, and embarrass them in front of their teammates. And so everybody would come up and just go, all right, everybody up, and on three Sonics, and we'll get busy tomorrow in practice. And so we go, 1, 2, 3, Sonics, all right? And Bill Fitch was like that too.
Coach of the Cavaliers and
well, and
the
New
Celtics
Jersey Nets when I worked with him there. And he's much older than Bernie and myself, but, you know, that was his model also at that level. So that means that if these professional coaches, you know, are making lots of money, and the psychology of their position is to keep the team together, then they know the best way to release them from what just happened. And that we'll go over mistakes, we'll go over things that we need to improve upon the next day, all right, in practice, or the next time we come together. Parents, on the other hand, need to take that same model and release, all right, their children from what happened. Praise the effort. Support the effort always, okay? And if it was a winning shot or something like that, just talk about how exciting it was and the feelings and what have you. But when you get home, all right, just remember that model. Just let it go. There's no reason to rehash the game. Or if a dad videotaped a game, to make the son or daughter sit there and watch the replay of the game. Don't need to do that. What you can do is let them know that it is available if they want to watch it. Right. And in most cases, if parents do that, if they videotape a game, all right, and they don't force their son or daughter to sit there to watch it with them, there's a pretty good chance they'll turn it on themselves if you set it up for them.
Great points.
So, Guy, in closing with our listeners, can you kind of wrap things up for us?
Okay, sure. Today we talked about the parents' personality and behavior, focused on the first game jitters, how parents react to what their kids are going through, praising effort, staying positive no matter what the outcome of the game is, whether it's a close game that they win or lose or a blowout, the all-important ride home, very undervalued issue in youth sports, and how to deal with the game back at the house.
We thank you for joining us. If folks listening have a question or comment on this or any other Family Sports Life Today episode, please give us a call and we'll try to use it in a future podcast. We're at area code 206-202-6224. That's area code 206-20-COACH. COACH.
And remember to visit our website, familysportslifetoday.com. You can listen to this program online or subscribe and download to your iPod or other MP3 players. If you subscribe, you will automatically receive future episodes.
Gracias, merci beaucoup, a faire. Thank you very much for listening.